Can you kind of bring us up to date on where we are with ALK rearranged disease in terms of first and second line therapy?
Yeah, because things have certainly changed a lot. So, and just like with our conversation about EGFR inhibitors, I think the nomenclature here may be helpful to review for people. We tend to think about generations of ALK inhibitors. The first generation ALK inhibitor was crizotinib. The second generation ALK inhibitors, really, there are several that are approved in the United States. These are ceritinib, alectinib, and brigatinib. And what distinguishes the second generation inhibitors is they're more selective for ALK, more potent for ALK, and they, in general, have better CNS penetration compared to crizotinib. We have to remember that crizotinib wasn't designed as an ALK inhibitor. It was really designed as a MET inhibitor first. And then there is a third generation of ALK inhibitors that are currently under study. That's exemplified by lorlatinib. And what distinguishes these third generation drugs is the drug was designed to have pan-inhibitory activity against ALK resistance mutations, including this solvent front resistance mutation, which we can talk about in a bit. But that's what distinguishes the third generation drugs, and that agents receive breakthrough therapy status by the FDA. But back to your original question, which is, what is the status of first line versus second line drugs for ALK-positive disease? So we know that crizotinib had been the historical standard of care for newly diagnosed ALK-positive patients. This was based on the PROFILE 1014 study, where crizotinib was compared against platinum pemetrexed and showed an improvement in progression-free survival. However, I would say that crizotinib has now been displaced by alectinib as the current standard first-line therapy for ALK-positive patients. And this is really based on two randomized studies, the J-ALEX study and the Global ALEX studies. They had very similar designs, and these were head-to-head comparisons of alectinib, the second-generation ALK inhibitor, versus crizotinib. In both of these studies, alectinib was superior to crizotinib in terms of progression-free survival, as well as key secondary endpoints, specifically in terms of control of CNS disease. So the cumulative incidence of CNS metastases was far lower with alectinib compared to crizotinib. And recently, at this past ASCO, we saw some updated data on the Global ALEX study. And I would say that it was quite impressive in that the median progression-free survival of newly diagnosed ALK-positive patients in that study approached 36 months, which is, very impressive seeing a PFS in that range. Now, what's it going to look like moving forward? We recently saw a press release that brigatinib, which is another second-generation inhibitor, has a first-line trial compared against crizotinib, and we saw a press release that that study was positive, but we don't know anything more about the degree of positivity or what that data looks like. So hopefully we'll see that at an upcoming congress.
Any predictions? How about if I say, I bet it's going to be a lot like alectinib?
Yeah, so we don't know. So what people have tried to do is look at some of the second line studies and try to draw conclusions about what brigatinib might look like. As a reminder, the studies of alectinib that were done in the post-crizotinib setting, so there were a couple phase two studies, and there we saw good response rates and a progression-free survival of around 10 months. In the brigatinib study, and this was again in the post-crizotinib setting, depending on whether you looked at investigator assessment versus central assessment, the progression-free survival was close to 17 months. So, some have speculated that perhaps brigatinib may provide an even greater PFS benefit, but I think we really need to see the data because 36 months is quite impressive, and I think that's going to be hard to beat in the first line setting.